think I would like to discuss the value of listening to Dharma. And I think Tiny Tam would like to encourage him to listen more, but he made a comment to me, it's not the way. Would you say more?
Actually, not only him, everybody. I think everybody
should be encouraged to study Dhamma, not only him.
And he made a comment, this is not the way. Would you say more?
I remember your comments in Sri Lanka about that. We don't see it as the way to develop the understanding, that you have to listen, you have to read the book and so on. We don't see it as a way to develop.
I think that it's not depend on time. It depends on understanding and considering, because people just listen for many years without any understanding at all. So it's useless just to hear and don't really understand each word as it is. For example, now, a moment ago it's gone. So if there is the understanding, there must be the understanding of that which appears. What for? Because we have accumulated lots of ignorance of seeing of every moment quite a long, long time ago. So what is the purpose of listening is to understand the accumulation of one's own at that very moment, that what condition, just seeing and thinking, it's here, the accumulation from long time ago. Conditioned seeing as the result of agama, who knows? But after that, there are lots of accumulations to be kusala or akusala. The understanding is to understand that reality cannot be taken for anything else, self or things in and around, but it's only that which is conditioned to arise and appear just very rapidly and then completely gone, absolutely, no return. This is a point that if one keep in one's mind or is there firmly established, it can continue on to any life to hear about that which appears. Because ignorance is there. Not to listen and think about other things, not understanding this moment as just a conditioned reality. Nobody can do anything because it's beyond anyone's to control it or to have it at will. It's conditioned by many, many conditions. Just one moment, there are so many conditions for its arising. This is ignorance if there is no understanding. But when there is standing more and more, one sees that that which has been accumulated, not just only ignorance and attachment and all other akusala, it's just become lesser and lesser, just a very little, according to the understanding of reality.
So the question is, what is listening? So listening doesn't mean how much time one spends with a jhan or how long one reads the book for, but it depends on the wise considering at different moments, no matter where one is or no matter what one's activity. So it's the careful considering of what has been heard. So this is what listening is. And I think that was what we discussed in Sri Lanka, that it wasn't about the time or the particular activity, but one's own wise considering. Because otherwise, as Ajahn said, someone may listen for years and years or hours and hours, but if there isn't the careful considering, it's not really listening to what is heard. And at breakfast, we were talking about, well, what about if someone's deaf? Well, listening, because in the Buddha's time there were no books, so listening can be the wise considering of what has been read also. It doesn't mean having to hear. So it's the understanding that is being referred to.
Anything else?
So think that on the other hand, one should be truthful to oneself, whether there is wise consideration that arises when listening or when is not listening. One should also see whether one interest in the Dhamma decreased or increased. So I think it's also one should be very truthful to this moment.
And what do you mean by increase or decrease? Because when one is truthful, it can be more, not less.
Right.
Because one see the benefit of understanding. Otherwise, why one listen? But it can be akusalas in between, according to conditions. That's why it's all anatta, but panya is not enough, not strong enough to understand even this moment that it's anatta, any moment. Otherwise, attachment is there. So it's quite a long, long way to really eradicate the clinging to the idea of self. Otherwise, it would like to do more, hear more, practice more, and so on, but not understanding reality right now. So it has to begin with right understanding, firmer and firmer about now.
Just briefly, I'm wondering how interest in Dhamma is gauged. It is measured?
I think it's not just something that you can know in one day or something, but after some long time, we can notice that whether one has often thinks about the Buddha's words and that understanding is firm or not firm. One has doubt or one has no doubt. You know, this is the kind of thing over time.
That is the studying the Dhamma or oneself?
Also Dhamma. It depends on the understanding at that moment. There can be understanding that...
Some would say, my Dhamma. Not the Dhamma.
And I think there can be long periods where there's no thinking about the Dhamma. I think that's natural. So I don't think it's any particular matter to be monitored, as it were. I've never thought of monitoring the level of interest in the Dhamma.
Until Panya sees Lopa is there. It's really difficult to see Lopa, where it is, now or then. Because many people listen to the teaching even at the foundation and they're just about themselves, how much they understand and so on. It's not the studying Dhamma as not self. It's like studying Dhamma to understand oneself.
Sutta, I remember there's one sutta where the Buddha talks about thinking many times or a day about something like that. And then the best thing is to understand the Dhamma now. When there's understanding of the Dhamma now, one knows, one has reviewed what is past or something like that. See.
Without the words of the teaching, it's impossible to have condition for right awareness and right understanding of now. That's why he taught for 45 years of all realities, just to understand that they are all anatta. So the way is the way of anatta, to realize anattaness.
Like I mentioned to a friend who's listening in the back, that we may all talk a lot about doing good, but the important point is understanding it's no one who does anything, actually just conditioned cheetahs, conditioned dharmas. Otherwise, one may just be accumulating more and more, clinging to oneself who does good, instead of just understanding they are conditioned dharmas at this moment.
And those things the Buddha mentioned about reflecting on the kusala in a day or reviewing, that sort of thing, is all kusala moments themselves arising naturally by conditions in the person with rather well-developed understanding. It's not a recommendation for us to make a point of reviewing or thinking over that sort of thing, because that wouldn't be kusala, that would just be a formality, as it were.
When I was talking about seeing whether interest in decrease or increased, is it in relation to that natural happening, not something that we have to do.
I'd like to suggest that a better measure, if there is one, is whether the understanding of dhammas has increased. Yeah, rather than level of interest, to me that's not something that's actually measurable, because we are probably applying conventional standards to what interest means. So it's where the dhammas are more clearly understood now than before.
I think the
intensity of the interest in the conventional sense doesn't really matter, because it's going to fluctuate a lot over time depending on conditions and association and that sort of thing.
What did you say the last one?
Conditions and association, who one associates with. But again, that happens by conditions too.
I remember a sutta mentioned about a man, he became a monk, and then he distraught several times because he missed his wife until he several times before he became an arahant. Are there a story like that?
Yes, seven yes. times.
So it's very hard to know that the accumulation of
right.
each person
yeah.
in different time, different interest.
The more times you disrobe, the more accumulations are becoming in life.
Who knows? Who knows?
I thought of you this morning, because when I got up and while I was pottering around in my room, I was listening to the radio from Hong Kong, catching up on the latest situation and the politics and the financial markets, and just very natural and common. And then I started looking at my notes for the Dharma discussion, so just daily life.
Because all are seeing, hearing, thinking, see?
Different dharmas and different moments of interest, following different stories, that's all. But any moment there can be understanding, any time at all. And when it's firm confidence that any moment, any reality can be known now, then it becomes satchanyana, it becomes really firm. No thought that one should do something else or go somewhere else, or that one should read dharma all the time, or anything else, because one knows each moment, each citta, each dharma is conditioned anyway at such times.
For example, see how much there is the understanding of it, even it is now seeing. only seeing, but seeing cannot be I, because it is seeing. Little by little, one can understand each reality when one learns more about the reality of it. It's conditioned, it just sees. The other cittas cannot see.
So you speak about seeing, and I'm very happy each time to hear about it. It seems that it is always new, even you talked about it before, and that we can always learn more about seeing, what seeing is.
And there is clinging to seeing. See, if that clinging is not eliminated little by little, how can there be not I who sees, which sees, whatever? So all khandhas, all conditioned realities are object of clinging. That's why there must be the moment of understanding whatever is there by anotherness, naturally, because there must be conditions for the arising of sati, awareness.
And it's still just one world
at a time, no matter what the conventional circumstance, no matter listening to the radio about Hong Kong news or reading the Dharma book, just one world at a time, just like now. So when we think less in terms of the situation as being the reality and understand more about seeing or visible object now, then we don't think about this is the Dharma activity or this is the non-Dharma activity, because seeing is seeing anytime, anywhere, and the same for hearing or other realities.
From hearing, it's not difficult to say or to see that seeing is not hearing, right? But this has to develop panya until panya is keen enough to understand moment of seeing and moment of hearing by conditions with sati and panya. Because when there's not enough condition for sati, right sati, to arise, we just guess or think, expect what is its characteristic. But it depends on panya, because there is awareness at this moment which can understand the words about sati. But that awareness is not the level of being aware directly, because the condition's not enough yet. That's why it develops, just to understand whatever appears. And only panya can know about the understanding, which is against the ignorance and clinging, which cling to seeing so much.
But frankly, I admire the people who keen to learn and keen, very interested in Dharma. And I say that, well, if I learn Dharma more, it should be better than reading politics.
I still think that it doesn't concern politics. It's life, different accumulation.
Right.
So we cannot say this is better or that is better, because no matter in which circumstances, we can learn more about realities and know the difference between situations and realities, but we don't force anything. It doesn't matter. Just politics. Okay, don't change it. Don't change it. If you have interest in politics, don't change your interest, because it's natural.
Less becoming less interested in politics can also be natural, right?
Yeah.
What is the difference between attachment to politics and attachment to cooking or eating? Attachment is attachment, no matter what. Sweeping, washing, moments of attachment. to whatever it's seen and thought about.
I like to be attached to Dhamma, not to attached to politics.
That is your accumulation.
And wishing to be attached to
another object is just more attachment. I was chatting with Bev at breakfast about how any moment, even now in the middle of a Dhamma discussion, sitting next to a Jan, as soon as they're seeing or hearing, there is attachment anyway, comes in so quickly, totally unknown. And if one thinks now, oh, it would be better that rather than listening to the radio about politics or reading the paper, better something else, this is not understanding anything about what is conditioned at this moment.
And that is attachment to attachment.
And it's the wrong way, it's the wrong path, because it's the idea that another activity would be better or preferable for understanding. It's not understanding at that moment what is, what appears, what is real.
If not, it's not the way of abandoning attachment and kilesa.
I think there's a subtle point between something we can realize that what one is doing is useless, just naturally, not because we don't think that one better do this, but just naturally one realize that it is useless. So there can be a moment of attachment, or there can be a moment of just naturally detachment.
Right understanding is so subtle that it can understand the subtlety of attachment and kusala. So the way it develops, it's not right fighting with swords or guns, but it's the way of wisdom to really understand whatever appears, but not from our own thought, because we're not arahatta like Sammā Sambuddho. So we need to listen carefully, very carefully, that the way of abandoning is not the way of attachment. From now on.
Thinking of activity is useless. Well, I suppose it depends what you mean by useless. Is one's livelihood useless, or just leisure activities, or what? It's not a conventional...
Not really activity, or like a moment. You can be reading some news about the stars and something like that, and suddenly you think, this is just... Maybe you see that moment, the chitta is just so disturbed, and so you just think, this is...
It is you. You think about it with names, right?
I think it depends. Maybe you can use the words like that.
But how can there be the understanding of citta right now? It's only the word. Citta arises, it falls away with cittasikas, seeing, sees, and falls away. Where are you thinking at that very moment? So in order to realize the nature of citta, one has to understand the difference between rupa, dhamma, and nama dhamma, quite different. That which arises and experience only, no shape, no form. How can it appear as no shape, no form, no one, only that which experiences all the time from birth to death, not just only one life, keep on.
What would be useful is recognizing or understanding Dhamma as it is. So if the mind is full of attachment, for example, then there's some understanding. That is the reality of the present moment. I think if we have the idea of labeling something as useless, maybe there's the underlying idea that it wouldn't be pursued.
Yes, I think maybe the words can be misleading, but what I want to convey is that at that moment, like some moments before, there was the attachment to what is being read about, and but when it just realized that this is just nonsense or something, it's just not interested anymore at that moment to continue to read. So the words maybe used that use useless or something can be sound to be like, okay, it's like a labeling, but I think it's not necessarily the citta at that moment.
So if one has an idea, it would be better not to read about politics now, or in Nina's case, better not to play music, or in Jan's, better not to watch the news on TV every evening, then again, one's forgetting about Dharma at this moment. So it all has to come back to Dharma's, not anything about a good or a useful or a useless activity. Otherwise, it's the trap of lobha, the trap of me again forgetting about seeing at this moment visible object that's seen any time.
I think the person who hasn't heard the Dhamma can think, well, this is a waste of time, I do something more productive. But I don't see it as being a part of the development of any understanding or even kusala to think like that. It's just a conventional way of labeling the activity that's being done at the moment or the state of mind.
Yeah, another aspect is the understanding of whatever you are doing. The more understanding there is, then no matter what you are doing, it won't be with lobha, with attachment. Even if you watch TV, it doesn't mean that you're attached to what you see or what you hear, if you have understanding about realities.
It's not like about a conclusion that one should not do this or that, but just describing that some moments, it's not the, like one thing that, okay, one should not do this or that, but just naturally detached from it. It may be just conventional understanding or something, but still, like, not every time that one decide not to.
Is it kusala?
I would consider it kusala because it depends on the moment of the quality of the citta at that moment. Yeah.
Most often, it may be akusala. It may not be kusala at all.
So only Panya can know?
Yeah.
The other day in our pre-discussion, our informal discussion, when we were talking about the four conditions of meeting the wise friend, hearing the Dharma, wise considering, and development of understanding, when we talk about hearing the Dharma, are we referring to just hearing the sounds or hearing and listening as we were talking about it now? Because when it comes to wise considering, the yoniso manasikara, it's the wise considering with understanding about dharmas. So hearing, is it just referring to hearing the sounds which will be wisely considered?
Understanding.
Has to be with understanding. Mm-hmm. So not just hearing the sounds, but must be with understanding. Otherwise, for example, like the insect or the animal can hear the sounds, but if there's no understanding, it's not actually what is called hearing the Dhamma.
Well, I think the understanding could come later because there may not be much attention paid at the moment of hearing, but still the words have been heard and the meaning understood at a conventional level, and then on later reflection the significance is appreciated.
It's like when we talk about Sutta Maya Panya, Chinta Maya Panya, Bhavana Maya Panya, the Sutta Maya Panya has to refer to hearing and understanding, but it's maybe just at the time, like now we may be discussing Dharma and there's maybe some understanding of what is heard about dharmas, but when it's Chintamaya Panya, one goes away and really considers carefully, and it's much more understanding. So I think when we're referring to those conditions of hearing the Dharma and then wisely considering, the hearing has to be of understanding, but it's not the understanding of when there's wise consideration very carefully and deeply, the firm understanding that can lead to the direct understanding. Would this be?
I think that it depends on understanding, because the same word, seeing, how much one understands that, it depends on accumulation too. Because if there is that at that moment understanding, seeing is not self, it's only a reality, it just sees and understands what is heard according to the truth, and then there can be more confidence in whatever appears, as it's not under anyone's control or anyone's wish. Beginning to see anatthaness from the very beginning, otherwise it's the self who learns to understand as my understanding. But to really understand whatever appears now as nobody in it, thinking over it and understanding that we are studying the reality which appears, no one there, no one here, it can continue with the accumulation of one's own after hearing, by accumulation, to have confidence in whatever appears now, it's no one.
I have a comment that on the subject of understanding, perhaps. I have a number of moments of gratitude arising for hearing Dhamma, and the thought arises that understanding is a form of gratitude to the Ajahn who bring Dhamma to me. So however little understanding I have, that's a measure of gratitude, is the understanding. And very positive kusala moments have accumulated recently.
To take it as kusala and understanding it as no self is different, because it can be my kusala. For sure, like my seeing, my hearing, my thinking, my kusala, my akusala, always my mind all the time. But when there is more confidence in that which now arise and see, we haven't conditioned it to arise at all. It's there. That's why everything is there, already there, arising and falling away unknowingly. But it's there, the new one, always ready to be conditioned, to be object of understanding from hearing that it's real, but only for a very, very short moment. And when this kind of understanding develops more and more, it can detach or abandoning the idea of self from it. We talk about the truth, and now seeing is true, but the understanding of it is not enough to understand it as just a moment, only a moment, and very short, and never return, never to arise again. And this is samsara, from one moment to another moment, from birth to death, from day to night, every day, everything gone. What is left is only the accumulation of akusala, ignorance, attachment, on and on and on. That's why it's so precious to have the understanding of that which is now appearing. And that can be more and more understood, to have less and less attachment to take it for I, because it cannot be anyone. It cannot belong to anyone, because it's completely gone, absolutely, never to return each moment until the last moment of this life. But conditioned again, the next citta, after death moment, after dying consciousness. No gap. But panya can develop little by little. Otherwise, one is always lost. Now, it's more than being lost in the forest.
And very slowly, when there's less idea of me and my kusala or my akusala, also less idea of Ajahn and Ajahn's kusala and Ajahn who is so helpful, because actually what we take for Ajahn too are just different dharmas. And actually what the gratitude is really for is for the teachings of the Buddha, the understanding about different realities. And slowly it's a way to have less attachment to people by understanding more about dharmas. That takes a long time. And I agree with you that actually it's the understanding which is the best show of gratitude or respect, better than anything else, better than presentations or flowers or prostrating down. It's the understanding of what is said that is the best gratitude.
There was hesitation in speaking forth, because this state, with what little understanding I have now, was clear at that moment, was clear that it was not self, simply something arising and falling away, and several moments of it, which at that time I understood a chetasika to hearing Dhamma experience, not analysis so much, but experience. So I hesitated to say anything, for it was beyond words and indescribable.
Each moment is Dhamma. That's all. No matter what you think, what you say, all are Dhammas. That is not known yet, only that, but it can be known.
If we don't see the danger of akusala, then we cannot value the understanding, right?
But one is so attached, and the one is blind. So how can there be moment of seeing the benefit of understanding? It's much different from akusala, ignorance and right understanding. But that can be developed. The truth will be true, little by little. Thinking of people in the Buddha's time, or Buddha himself, how long it took to understand seeing as a self. Eons and eons. But so true. It cannot be other thing else. So one can see and be truthful. how much there is the understanding of seeing or whatever from moment to moment. All adamas, conditioned realities.
And on the topic of attachment to people, I had a chat with Al this morning, and I saw on her iPhone there was a very nice picture of her husband who passed away, and immediately I was thinking of our good, very good Dharma friend, and attachment instantly to memories just from that moment of visible object that was seen, but quickly, instantly attachment to our friend and thoughts, long stories about our Dharma friend. And Al said that when Ajahn looks at her phone and sees the screensaver of a picture of her husband, Ajahn says, "I'll be very happy when I don't see it on your phone," meaning that I think for Al it means every time she turns on her phone there is instant clinging to the memory of her husband, not letting go. Like usually when people have a family member that's passed away, they have photos of that family member, or some people may keep the ashes in their room. So Ajahn reminded her that she'd be happy not to see it at all. Would you say that?
Cling to what? Nothing is there to be clung to. No, see? So it's not just Kun El this morning. What about now? Every moment is Dhamma.
Can it be also memory of the good qualities of the person who passed away? It could be not just clinging.
Not anymore. Where is he now? Or even right now, where is the past moment?
That's true, yeah.
That's why.
But can we think of a person who passed away?
Uncontrollable, but understanding is there. Yeah. That it's only.
But with appreciation of his good qualities.
It's a moment. From moment to moment, that's all.
Yeah. But you will say, which is true, also clinging a lot.
And when Panya sees that, it understands better and better. There's nothing.
Yeah.
From nothing, something, and then nothing, completely. So one clings to that which is not anymore.
Yes.
Where is he now?
We don't know.
See? You cling to the butterfly? Might be a lot of it.
Yes. I understand. Yes.
So you like that butterfly?
Mm-hmm.
Even if you might think that is a lot of it.
I wouldn't
see.
But sometimes see the photograph. It can also bring the good memory about the understanding of Dhamma that he had, and he influenced me a lot.
That's why it's Dhamma. Forgetting moment about reality.
Yes, definitely. Yes. So basically, the minute you see things, you attach. So you see the photograph, you attach without knowing. And so when you're thinking about him, you also have attachment that you don't know.
Food.
So in other words,
food for attachment.
Food for attachment.
More and more.
More and more.
Story.
Story, yes.
Story.
Definitely.
Usually, every moment, almost every moment, is a food for attachment.
If Elle put flowers on her phone,
exactly.
And she loves flowers and has a lot of attachment to flowers.
Certainly.
But
almost
I know
every
it's
moment.
Special for you.
Hmm? Almost every moment.
Same thing.
From ignorance. That's why when there's right understanding, it can have less and less attachment. Gradually, very gradually.
But you said you will be happy when she doesn't have that. But if she puts flowers, is there a difference?
Any moment, not only then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
talking about flowers, Ajahn, one of my friends made a comment just a couple of days ago saying that she felt that it's unnecessary or it's worthless in a sense to spend a lot of money doing flower arrangement at the foundation. She said might be better to spend the money on radio or books and stuff.
Who can control?
Well, basically, for my thinking is that I do flower arrangement to pay respect to the Sangha, and whatever I get back, the knowledge or the little panya that I gain from the teaching of the Buddha is very little, but I feel very grateful. And so what I do for flowers to pay respect is nothing. So it's uncountable. Even I spend 10,000-20,000 baht to do flower arrangement on important day, I don't feel that it's worthless for me. It's a respect. That's how I feel.
It's very little. It's conditioned. That's all. I can be thinking just in a moment.
It's probably a mixture of motives, really,
yeah.
Including respect. Yeah.
Also, a lot of lobha and all that.
It's gone. Who knows?
So, Ajahn, the reason we all, many of us here, been listening to Dhamma for quite some time, but we keep forgetting the moment now, is because our ignorance and also we don't listen enough.
Not yours,
or we study
but
enough.
Conditions.
It's all Dhamma. That is performance function. Thank you.
Don't listen enough or understanding not sufficiently developed.
Back to Tom's comment about coming, you know, being attached and then thinking the useless moment. Well, could we say that most moments are useless unless there's right understanding?
The whole life.
The whole life's useless because it's attachment to something that's
everything
gone.
It's gone each day.
Mm.
Each moment.
So the attachment is useless, but it's there. So it's there to be known by Panya.
Right.
Even now.
Even now, yeah.
I wouldn't say it's totally useless, because if it's not arising, then you wouldn't know, you wouldn't understand the characteristic of it, you know, all the kilesa, right? So it's not useless, not totally useless.
But useless to cling to. And it's no choice.
You're right.
I think that, yeah, we have no choice. You know, we can consider it's we're attaching or we're not attaching. But I don't think it's useless or not or useful. It's just living and it's opportunities, because we can be aware of kusala or akusala if the conditions are right. So it's just something we should, I think, accept, and then opportunity can arise. Yeah.
I totally agree, but on the other hand, there are so many aspects, and one of the aspects of what arises and falls away is useless, right? So depending on the understanding of that moment.
See, sorry.
So that it depends on, because there are many aspects. If we talk about that aspect you're talking about, the opportunity and its conditioned, I totally agree. But on the other hand, we know that whatever arises and pass away, it's useless. So if talking from that perspective, it's...
In other words, talking about the meaning of dukkha, because what arises falls away, useless, and it's just the object of clinging. So seeing now... useless because it arises, falls away, and is clung to. So useless, as that's the first noble truth, that even moments of understanding arise and fall away and are inherently unsatisfactory in that sense. And that's what dukkha is. It refers to the arising and falling away of conditioned dhammas.
Well, it's all about the words and the feeling and the meaning. So you might say useless sounds like it's negative. I guess what I would just see, it's more reality arising and falling away. And yeah, we can't know from moment to moment. When we say useless, then we say it's bad. And I'm not sure, is that what we want to think, as opposed to just...
Can we say any conditioned dharma is unsatisfactory?
Yeah.
Any conditioned dharma at all, even moment of great understanding now, is unsatisfactory because
like
it doesn't last.
I like that word better.
It sounds useful, but useful for what?
Yeah.
For attachment. Only then. And ignorance. So in the absolute sense, is it useful?
Useful for understanding, when there are conditions for understanding.
Without it?
Unsatisfactory.
Because it's so natural. No one can stop its arising. But when it's the object of understanding, one can understand the uselessness of it.
Chan, when Squirrel said that when she saw the pictures of her ex-husband, it reminded her of his interest in listening to Dhamma. So Ajahn said just thinking is forgetting about realities. So can you explain about that? Because I think thinking at that time is also a reality.
While you are talking about Kun El's case, what about understanding, seeing, hearing, thinking right now?
There's also thinking about...
Yes, okay. Without understanding, thinking. Keep on thinking about that story, but not understanding the thinking, the seeing, the hearing right now. Without citta, there cannot be such thinking. Without memory, it's impossible to condition moment of thinking. Each moment is conditioned, just arise and falls away in split seconds. The truth of reality is only arising and falling away by condition.
Like now, there's hearing.
Yes. No matter what the Savaka, the followers of the Buddha, at the moment they hear about his past life and so on and everything, they could become enlightened because of understanding reality at that very moment. It doesn't mean that there is no understanding of the story, but even that is not self, a reality. That's why right understanding has to understand so that you can eradicate whatever is there. That's why awareness, samasati, at any movement, any moment, talking, silence, thinking, whatever is there. Otherwise, the attachment to the idea and ignorance of self is there. No doubt about whatever appears as yourself.
I have a picture of Lodwijk carrying the relic in India. I would feel quite unnatural to throw it away or do away of
no,
it.
No.
It's natural that I think of India and the relic and the respect he had.
You throw the pictures away, but you cannot throw attachment away.
Right.
So you don't have to do anything.
No.
By conditions.
By conditions.
Only what each move, each thinking, each moment.
Yeah.
How can
to know that, I think.
Understanding can.
It's like the idea people have that they have no possessions, or they have an empty house or no house, that there will be less attachment. But one can give away all one's possessions and keep dreaming about them. So it's you cannot measure attachment by one's possessions around. The attachment will be there anyway.
Yes.
What is the value of talking about the people who heard the words of the Buddha in that time, and we say they became enlightened? How does that help us?
Just like now, when Panya accumulated and developed to understand whatever appears now with right awareness. Because when there's no right awareness, no right understanding of seeing, there's doubt, and it's the object of attachment and the idea of self. In order to have less attachment to the idea of self, there must be understanding of whatever is object of attachment and clinging to the idea of self.
So talking about those people in that time,
fully developed,
is a encouragement to develop our wisdom, or what? Because we say, oh, they already had the wisdom. So we don't seem to be in that realm, and so it seems not so relevant to us in this era. Yeah.
Who knows the accumulation of kusala and akusala and panya and ignorance and attachment? Those people in the Buddha's time didn't know before at all that they would become arahata while listening, or after listening, or whatever happens. Like now, see, we don't know. This, I'm sure that this life is not the enlightened life yet, because we had to understand more than this, much more than this. But who knows, when time comes, like Sariputta, he didn't know that he would hear the words from Asachi about just reality right now, and he became Sotapanna. He didn't know before at all, that one day he'll meet Asachi and he will hear the words that could be object of understanding because of his accumulations ready to understanding it. So we don't know which life, what happenings, what events, that not you, this life, another person. That's why we will be we only as long as life ends, and then new person by conditions on and on, and countless lives. So in what life, what would we be? We don't know, no expectation. What would we hear? No expectation. How much accumulation of understanding is there to be ready to understand, which from previous life, not understanding of that level yet? Anattaness. We don't know what's going to be next moment at all, whether it's thinking, hearing, seeing, or what? Attachment, aversion, all in darkness. Even right now, there's light but no understanding of visible object, so it's dark because of ignorance, taking it, dreaming about it, attached to it. By understanding the Buddha's wisdom, it's the way to know who's Buddha, who's the Buddha. Otherwise, we have no idea how great wisdom is there. At the moment of his enlightenment, it must be much different from the moment of the Savaka's enlightenment. Because he can understand everything at once at that moment about Pachya of each reality, not by thinking, but it's there. Understanding is there. So understanding is like that light, great light, to be able to understand that which is in darkness all the time, or in a dream all the time. When one wakes up, nothing there. Each moment, nothing.
Back to the story of giving possession and attachment. Can we say that it depends also on level of understanding? Like when we read the story of the Bodhisattva?
We cannot know until it's there. Only speculation.
Because in the story of the Bodhisattva, I recall that he reflected that today.
Who knows whether there is? See, each moment is different. But a moment of kusala is different from a moment of akusala. Otherwise, it's like we try to solve what is not there.
So another thing, because you mentioned about darkness and light, and you've often hear you say that except the visible object, all the other realities are dark.
It depends on the meaning. Ignorance is dark, and banished light, greater than other light at all.
What about the definition, but when the Buddha said the mind is luminous, in what sense is it luminous?
Pabhasara, like at a moment of kusala, it's free from kilesa at that moment. So this is quite different from what we were talking about before, about only light at the moment when visible objects seen, completely different meaning.
And that light is not understanding, but the understanding, which is the light of reality, is conditioned such rupa. Different lights.
Rupa?
For example, because we know that almost every citta conditions rupa, so kusala citta conditions rupas that are different from akusala cittas. Cittas with a lot of panya conditions rupas that are different from strong akusala cittas.
Like you can,
the facial expression is different when someone is angry and when someone is giving, for example, to give a simple example.
But some people are born because of karma. It's dark. They have dark skin.
Say it again, please.
Why not?
Because of temperature conditioned by karma, so the skin color is different, but this is different from rupas conditioned by citta, by kusala or akusala citta.
And what about when it turned angry suddenly?
So for people who have dark skin, because it's the karma that conditioned it to be like that?
Speculation. Thinking about that which is not now.
Right.
So it's only thinking, try to find out. Not finding out the reality of this moment. Is there just a little detachment? from not understanding reality, little by little.
Yesterday I read in the book Conditionality by Nina, and is it about the predominance condition with the four chanda, viriya, panya, and citta. And I remember that it is said that is it necessary for accomplishing great task, but I wonder whether it refers to any moments or any moments in ordinary life.
Ordinary life usually is accomplished.
Like now.
No need to have activity. It can be when it's so difficult to understand the strength of Chittasika.
So for listening to the Dhamma, for example, would that be considered?
That's why when we read conditionality or any words of the teachings, there should be the understanding of that reality as citta or chittasikas, and that is not enough because citta has many function, like citta which trees needs how many chittasikas by way of what condition, see? Just learn to understand. No matter it is seeing or attachment, lopa mula citta, even chetasika, whether the chetana can be path or not, or why not, or something like that, to understand each one in order to become less clinging to it as my chetasikas or citta. So learn to understand the chetasikas and citta, that by cittas which are vipaka, how can they be conditions for the arising of rupa by different ways, by different paccaya? What, just one by one?
The citta which is vipaka in the seeing, hearing, the five pairs, they don't produce rupa, right?
Mm-hmm. To know that it just occur by conditions. No need to have vitaka, touching or other chetasikas, because it happened. Because it's time for agama to produce result. It cannot stop arising. It's arising because it's conditioned by karma. Like now.
Right thinking of the Eightfold Path is called Sammasankappa. Why not Sammavitaka? Vitaka.
It depends. Vitaka can arise with many chittas, but Sammasankappa, when it's developed, is different from vitaka, which arises with sampatichanna, santirana, and other citta.
So it's given a special name because it's lakutara.
Before that?
Oh, yeah. Okay. So what is the meaning of sankappa here?
With right understanding of the path.
So just it's special word because it's a special jetasika.
So it is just vitaka, but
it's just refer the name for when it is a path factor. At moments of satipatthana, it is sammasankappa, but it's vitaka jetasika.
Other examples: samavayama for virya, vayama, samasamadhi for ekagata.
These two guys, the other day in our pre-Dhamma discussion, we were talking about Manasikara, and we were talking about the three meanings of Manasikara, and also talking about Yoniso Manasikara. And when we were talking about the three meanings of manasikara. Manasikara is attention. It's a chetasika that arises with every chitta, which tends to the object. And the first meaning is referring to that chetasika, armana patipatika manasikara. Refers to the chetasika. And the second meaning of manasikara, viti patipatika manasikara, refers to the first citta in the sense door process, the panchadwara vajana citta. And the third meaning, the third manasikara, javana patipatika manasikara, refers to the first citta in the mind door process. And patipatika, we talked about, means the foothold or the stepping stone. So when it's referring to the first citta in the sense door process or the first citta in the mind door process, clearly it's the foothold or the stepping stone for the other cittas in the sense door process or the mind door process. When it's referring to the chetasika, aramana patipatika manasikara, in what way is the manasikara, the chetasika, the foothold or the stepping stone? Why does it have patipatika in that meaning?
I think that many words represent only one reality.
Yes.
But we don't mind about the names. But since the manasikara is the attention which arises with each citta when it experiences an object, that's all.
So we can say that whichever definition, it's always referring to manasikara. So even when it's referring to the first citta in the sense door process or the first citta in the mind door process, it's referring to the manasikara that arises at that moment with the citta.
Because I thought it was citta, the other citta cannot arise.
Right.
So it's the first viti citta.
Right. So it's,
but manasikara is there too.
Has to be there.
Yeah. But when it means that which is the avajana, it means that without that, the process cannot go on.
So it's pointing to the important role of manasikara because it arises with every citta and its important role in having to arise with the first citta in the process for the process to go.
Usually it arises with each citta, but when it arises with the first citta in the process, it performs a function that without the citta, that citta with jetasikas, there cannot be the process.
Right. Okay. So it is particularly referring to the citta, and but which is accompanied by manasikara. And when it's referring to the just the chetasika and the aramana patipatika manasikara, why is patipatika used? Why is it
the
foothold?
Yeah, like it sense of it wisely or unwisely.
Right.
It can condition
the kusala or akusala, other kusala or akusala, depending on the attention. So we could say it's like the foothold for other chetasikas that arise with it to attend wisely or unwisely at that moment.
According to its chati.
Yeah, I was just asking about the third manasikara, which is the javana patipatika manasikara, which is the first citta of the...
Before final. Javana. If this citta does not arise, the javana cannot arise.
So also in the sense door process, before javana, in the sense door process as well.
Because you say that without the manodvara vachana citta, which performs the function of vortapana, kusala or akusala cannot arise.
But through which
doors? Different names only, because it performs different functions. Through the mind door, it performs the function of avachana, but through the sense door, it doesn't perform the function of avachana because it's a function of pancha dvara avachana. So it is always javana, patipataka, manasikara, no matter which door.
So
Can we say that that name Manasikara is given to that very citta because the function, its function is similar to the function of the Manasikara Chittasika, which no, attends to the object?
Because you see that it depends on whatever you like, but without it, without that citta, because Manasikara arises with every citta. But when it is Viti Patipataka, it means the citta which has to arise before other Viti citta in the process. Why names?
So when the Buddha said Yoniso Manasikara, it refers to
Javana.
Javana.
Kusala or Akusala?
Cannot be Vutapana because it's Kriya, right?
And here, when Javana, Patipataka, Manasikara, so when we say it is the Manodwara Vajana Citta, but the Manodwara Vajana Citta in sense door process is Vutapana, yeah, so it's always the one before the Javana.
I remember the other day you mentioned that in the Atasalini or something, or one of the books of the Abhidhamma, it is said that the Vutapana Citta is Yoniso Manasikara or Ayonsin. Can you remind?
Nina and I once had a long discussion about this on DSG, because in the Atasalini it refers to Yoniso Ayoniso Manasikara as the Manodwara Vajana Citta. But what the meaning is, it's the Manodwara Vajana and the subsequent Javana Chittas, the Kusala or Akusala Chittas, because, as you say, the Manodwara Vajana Chitta is just one Kriya Chitta, so the wise attention has to be the Kusala Chittas that follow it. Yeah. So it's a good example of how one has to read carefully, otherwise it doesn't make any sense. When I was chatting with Bev at breakfast and we were talking about how she was actually picking up on a comment that you had made yesterday about how even now, any time as soon as visible object seen or sound is heard or there's attachment instantly, and we were chatting about how only the very gross kinds of attachment or other kalesa appear now, such as when one's angry, everyone knows there's anger, or if one has strong attachment, everyone knows there's strong attachment, but the subtle attachments that arise after seeing and hearing, completely unknown. And she was asking about whether it can ever be known or ever be worn away, and we were talking about how actually the gross kinds of kalesa have to be known and have to be abandoned first, and how there are bound to be subtle attachments. Even the Sakadagami has attachment to what's seen and heard instantly, often unknown. Anything more about wearing away of kalesa?
No, that was the discussion.
Yes. Any further comments?
It's doubtful whether how can that level of kalesa can be eradicated.
Yes.
But when panya develops, there's no intention to erase or detach from any level. But right understanding begins, and it knows better and better, until it can eradicate even that, not intentionally.
Not by wish or thinking that it should be eradicated, but just through the very gradual development of understanding.
Panya works its way.
If someone thinks, oh, they don't have much attachment now to what's seen or heard, actually it just shows up the ignorance, because it's completely unknown, actually, this non-stop attachment to what is seen and heard even now. So as Azita was saying the other day, more and more ignorance has to be revealed.
and just because some people have the idea that the level of unwholesomeness is actually a measure of one's understanding. But of course that's not the case. The measure of the understanding is the extent to which understanding itself has been developed, and the rate or order of the wearing away of the defilements doesn't necessarily correlate directly with the development of understanding.
Kunashita, you might like to hear more a little bit about vitaka or sammasankappa. No more?
Yes.
We have to understand the function and the characteristic of each cetasika. They arise together. So how can they be known? How can they be known? Because at this moment they arise together and fall away together. But by studying carefully, it is the beginning of understanding each cetasika, the difference between cetasikas. For example, paccha is not vitaka, right? And paccha arises with each citta as conditions for cittas arising. So vitaka, we try very hard to think about it. If it's only thinking, that's not right at all. But if we think about touching, just a little after paccha, because paccha just very first moment of touching and experiencing the object, that's not enough, just paccha. That's why it needs other cetasikas, even in a moment. And vitaka is there after seeing, or the ten consciousness which sees, hears, so on. So as much as we can have the understanding intellectually is paccha touch different from vitaka touch different from paccha. Okay? So at moment when awareness arises by conditions, there might be doubt. What is there? Is it me? That is not right understanding, because it's still the idea of ignorance and I trying to find out what is what. But when it's the moment of conditions to condition right awareness, it has to be with or from right understanding only, enough as satyana, without hope, wish, expectation or anything, because it has to go along on the way of detachment more and more, little by little, gradually. So at this moment, is there any touching? Yes. Who knows paccha? Not knowing paccha. But when panya is there and vitaka is there, it's touched with right understanding so fast, but it's there. That's why sammasankappa is one of the Eightfold Path, because there must be right understanding, which condition is there together, because we touch conceptually touched, but it's not the vitaka which touch, because the citta just touches the softness or hardness through body sense, but paccha is there and vitaka is there, but no understanding. But when there's more and more understanding about all dhammas, realities, conditioned dhamma, at moment of touching with sammasankappa, right understanding is there, that it's moment of understanding that which hasn't been understood before while touching. And this is a difference between with panya or without panya. Vitaka can arise without panya, and vitaka can be one of the Eightfold Path with panya of different degrees. That's why when it touches more and more, panya develops more and more. So vitaka is the factor of Panya in the Panya group, while the others are Samatha or Sila or Samadhi. Only Vitakka is there as part of with Panya, together with Panya. So it depends on that this moment there's sati, no understanding. So it's vitakka which arises and falls away in split seconds. But when panya is there, we don't count how many moments nimitta is there. But vitakka touch with right understanding. So it knows or experiences panya. Excuse me. It knows and experiences hardness. Just that. And when panya develops higher and higher, no more, just touch. Softness, hardness gone, everything gone completely. Otherwise, there will never be the path leading to the eradication of ignorance and the idea of self, of any object at any time by conditions. Some more about vitakka?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, it is sammasankappa all the way, depending on right understanding which accompanies it. Reality cannot be changed. It has its own characteristic, its own function, its own manifestation, and its own proximate cause for its arising. Even they arise together, but what is the proximate cause of what?
I read another word for vitakka in English, which is strike on, right? And just thinking about the moments of vitakka and with concept at the object. Concept doesn't exist, right? So
vitakka arises, it touches no matter the object is what.
So to me the strike on tells more about what vitakka does rather than about the object. So to me strike on is very, very good to convey the function.
What about
the
this moment of sampaticcana? That is strike?
I don't know. I don't know that moment.
What about moment of moha mula citta? That is strike? So it depends on
the degree of.
Yeah. Okay.
When it's the path factor, then we could say it strikes, but.
About pariyatti and patipatti. It's pariyatti and patipatti. They are both levels, different levels of understanding. And we know that pariyatti has, patipatti has realities as its object. What about pariyatti? Can there be pariyatti with concept as object, or only pariyatti with realities as object?
Pariyatti is intellectual understanding about realities, and patipatti is direct understanding with direct awareness.
So it has to be concept of reality.
When it's pariyatti, it has to be concept of reality because it's not direct understanding of reality. Like now, when we're talking about visible object which appears now, it's the concept of visible object that is being understood.
And vitakka, we just talk about pariyatti.
And I'm sure I've asked this again, but so why is passa and not vitakka, ahara, pachya, nutriment, condition?
What comes first?
Well, they come together, but yes, passa arises with every moment. Yeah. If you say what comes first, what well, the moment
they
is.
They are different realities, different characteristics, different function.
but pasa has to rise at every moment, and if there's no contact, there cannot be the touching of the object.
So would we say pasa is also one of the Eightfold Path?
No.
See, but vitaka is.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Pasa is a nutriment for it to arise, or all the other.
So it is ahara paccaya, not makkha paccaya.
That's why in all the suttas it always talks about contacting the object, because without that nutriment, without pasa, there cannot be the arising of citta or any other mental factors. So there cannot be any path factors.
Is there sila now?
For sure.
See? What kind?
Different moments.
Kusala sila, kusala sila, different
right.
moments.
Right. To really understand that sila must be reality.
Because
sila refers to the nature or the kind of citta, so moments of kusala now, moments of kindness or moments of understanding, there is kusala sila, but at moments of attachment or moments of boredom or restlessness or yawning, many moments of akusala sila. So even now in a Dhamma discussion, kusala sila, akusala sila, just like at any other time.
Otherwise people
have an idea that whenever they're at the temple or they're making offerings to the monks, it's all kusala sila, or whenever they're going to movies or watching TV, it's all akusala, but actually kusala sila, changing rapidly, even while I'm speaking now.
Han likes this topic of sila,
going to temples.
No, I think most of the time it's akusala sila without right understanding of the reality.
Yes. Last night I have a chat with the Kun Nopadon, and he said that while smoking is more harmful to body than the drinking wine. So I don't agree with his point.
So he drink wine, but he doesn't smoke.
Now he stopped drinking as well as the smoking.
Attachment.
Actually, I had a little chat with Ty about smoking today and pointed out Alberto's good example of how he used to smoke so much when we knew him, and now not at all. And on the first day in our formal discussion, the Vietnamese brought up the topic of drinking beer. Would you like to give a summary of the discussion to Ajahn?
Attachment. First and last quest answer.
And it's no one,
right?
No one.
Yes.
Like now, different dharmas. Is it helpful to discuss or consider which kinds of attachment are more harmful, like attachment with smoking or attachment with drinking? Does it help to consider?
Yeah, because it relates to akusala kamma.
And we mentioned this is why
drinking is one of the precepts, but not smoking in that sense, because even though when drinking can be just common ordinary attachment, but it can, if one is intoxicated, if the habit is accumulated enough that one's intoxicated, it can lead to akusala kamma.
For some people who is like heavy smokers, it can accumulate the habit, and also it's not good. Because I think certain nicotines can also cause to the ground action, or maybe it's not just my information.
anyway, it may well lead to shortening life and then less opportunity for hearing and considering the Dharma. I think Alberto is an expert on this topic of smoking.
I didn't tell you I gave up smoking about 8 months ago.
By conditions.
That's another story. I just got, I thought I had a heart attack. But no, it wasn't, but I was, I thought I had. So I just threw everything. I was so scared about my health that I threw everything away. No. Well, that's another, not the main one.
It's very interesting about the cigarettes, because everyone knows that it's harmful for health. But just like one day there's something happened, and then that the condition enough determination to stop, and we don't really know when it happens.
Smoking is like
drinking coffee, maybe the same. But talking about health, I think smoking is more harmful, right?
What about the most dangerous is ignorance?
You said giving up ignorance is more difficult. But, you know, one other thing about smoking is the secondhand smoke. We forget that while smoking is harmful to the person who smokes, the secondhand smoke that everybody else is breathing from the smoker can also be harmful to them. So,
smoking doesn't kill you fast enough. So some people smoke all their lives, you know, and never get sick. And other people get very sick. So it's just conditions. You don't know what will cause. Huh? We had a friend who was 80-something years old and smoked and drank. Yeah, she had sherry every night, and you know, good conditions.
She cut down the cigarettes by from 6 a day to 3 a day.
Till 80-something years old.
What about the monks? A monk who drink a lot, who drank liquor before he dies.
Yeah. I mentioned that to became an arahat and was the smell of liquor on his breath. So understanding can develop any time. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, excuse me. Sarakani, not a monk. Sorry. Yeah.
But the monk's question.
A monk cannot drink.
No.
Yeah. A prince, I think, Sarakani, Kasakya, or someone.
Please excuse me. This is from Collier's Encyclopedia about the most poisonous substances on earth. And the first most poisonous substance is nicotine. The second most poisonous substance is opium. And the third, surprisingly, was cyanide. It's naturally occurring in things like apple seeds, but one would have to eat an enormous amount of them. Cyanide gas has been used to for inhaling the poisonous gas is for a death sentence, for example. But nicotine, above all of those, it's a very deadly, nasty poison, but nicotine is the most poisonous substance. However, it's a very small amount in cigarettes, and as Tom mentioned, it doesn't kill immediately. It's also so dangerous because of its highly addictive nature. But the reference for that was Collier's Encyclopedia.
I have a question for Mom Betty. She asked, perhaps you can ask Tanajan about the nature of attachment that leads to that kind of habit.
Anytime. Anything.
What kind?
Smoking. of course, many people think that there is no, that they're just, they won't get addicted to.
Question was the nature of the attachment that leads to something like smoking.
Eating, dressing, playing, watching TV, or everything. Why there, just that? Why only that?
Maybe a smoker can tell better? Because he only he can knows.
Yeah, I must have had a previous accumulation from previous life, I don't know, of course. But the first cigarette you smoke, you feel sick and you almost throw up. But then you smoke the second and then you like it, I don't know. So some people don't really like, even they try to smoke, they don't really like smoking. No, it's a taste, or also body, like, feel the, to me, the it's a body sensation, and it's a taste, or mental follows, yeah, of course, mental follows everything. All sensation is followed by mind or. So I need or, then it goes mind or.
What about other karmas?
Yeah.
Includes karma, avijja, and titi.
But why is smoking and drinking so hard to...
Whatever relate to akusala karma, no matter what kind of intoxicant.
It's so hard to give up,
right? Yeah. Why so hard to give up? Maybe it's easier to give up some kind of food, maybe not coffee, but maybe tea, or maybe Coke.
Different accumulations. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Some people become totally addicted to Diet Coke and can't give it up, and drink large amounts. There are articles about that. So different kinds of addiction, different kinds of attachment that's accumulated to different objects, I think. Some people couldn't give up eating chilies.
Is it like object condition, object like ramanu upanisaya pachaya? Because desirable object.
The accumulated liking for particular objects more and more and more.
So, on the nature of craving or this attachment, is that also that's also with a state of obsession, perhaps?
I think that when there's very strong attachment to any object or any taste, for example, then one can become obsessed and think about it and dream about it, and you have one cigarette and dream about the next one immediately, and so. But actually there is different kinds of obsession all day, obsessed with one's story or one's object of attachment. Could be one's family member, or it could be anything that one just cannot stop thinking about.
Or activity, shopping.
That's the nature of attachment.